Moshe Rabbeinu builds the temple cannot be destroyed. So if Moshe Rabbeinu goes into Eretz Israel, the temple cannot be destroyed. So who is going to be destroyed? Am Israel. So
for what is the temple?
Sorry?
For what is the temple? If the temple
no, if Am Israel are going to sin, and as we know it happened, Am Israel sinned, and the Kodesh Baruch Hu destroyed
the
temple, the stone, the building, not the people. The people are still here.
No.
So if Moshe Rabbeinu would have gone into Eretz Israel, Kodesh Baruch Hu wouldn't touch the building, the temple.
Okay.
Because whatever Moshe Rabbeinu did was forever. So if he wouldn't touch the temple and Am Israel sinned, who is he going to touch? The people.
But then doesn't make sense.
Why?
Because if the temple is for Am Israel,
yes,
and they will not be people, for what do you have the Beit HaMikdash? Who will do the
all nobody, the other nobody.
From,
nobody. Will we'll start a new nation.
From who?
What did Moshe Rabbeinu tell Moshe Rabbeinu after the golden calf?
Yeah, I want.
So I'm going to destroy everybody. I'm going to rebuild a new nation from you.
Okay.
For example, there are a lot. That's not the issue.
No, I understand. Okay.
So it's either you or Am Israel. So of course Moshe Rabbeinu answers, I don't want you even to touch one hair of Am Israel. I'm willing to die. I've got no problem. I'm not going into Eretz Israel. But I saw a very nice explanation. It all sounds very strange. That really, the whole idea behind it was that Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to teach us the power of prayer. Moshe Rabbeinu knew from the beginning that at a certain time God is going to tell him to stop. And he knew exactly what's going to happen. And he wanted to show us. Because what Moshe Kodesh Baruch Hu is telling Moshe is, if you go on praying, what's going to happen? I'm going to listen to your prayer. I'm going to give you what you request. And it means that Am Yisrael is going to be destroyed. So Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to show us that even if God decides to do something, you can change it when you pray. That's the power of prayer. In other words, Moshe Rabbeinu is really teaching us a big lesson. Because as we know, the Torah is not a story. It's not history. It's a way of life. It's to teach us. So here we learn the power of davening, the power of prayer. Also, by the way, he's telling us how to pray. What does it mean? He says, Va'etchanan el Hashem ba'et ha'il amor. And I pleaded to God at that time, and I said, says Or HaChaim HaKadosh, there are four conditions if you want your prayer to go up and be answered. The first one is Va'etchanan, to plead to God, come from the point of view of modesty, of humility, be anav, from anava. Tfila le'ani kiyatov. Tfila, says David HaMelech, tfila, prayer, to a poor that is covering himself. Tfila le'ani kiyatov, lifnei Hashem yispoch sichot. Then you daven to God. In other words, if you pray to God like a poor guy that's got nothing in the world and prays to God, that's a prayer that goes up. If you pray, oh, I'm big shot. No, you are nothing. Anava. That's the first condition. The second one, Va'etchanan el Hashem. We pray only to God. We don't pray to nobody else. Not to walls, not to stone, not to trees, and not to human being. Doesn't matter how great they are. It can be the greatest tzaddik in the world. We don't pray to him. We pray only to God.
It's why when we go to a kever, I never know what to do in a kever. I never do anything.
So,
I don't pray there. Because I don't know what I am doing here.
I tell you what you're doing here. That's exactly the difference between praying to the tzaddik or praying through the tzaddik. Or let's say it in another way. The tzaddik, he's got a lot of zchuyot. A lot of, how do you say in English?
Zchuyot.
He's got a lot of zchuyot. So,
merits.
Merits. So it's got a lot of merits. So the tzaddik is buried there. And we all know that there is a connection between the body and the soul. This is also a very interesting issue. People don't realize it, that the body is really, how do you say it, pashtut, is the neshama that went and grew through the body. In other words, it's a part of the neshama. So when the neshama goes, there is still something that is connecting the neshama up there with the tzaddik here. They call it etzem haluz. That's where this is a small thing that through it we do tchiyat amiti. God is going to do tchiyat amiti.
Here, no?
What?
It is here in the back of.
I don't know where it is. And they say it's a small thing that you cannot burn it, you cannot do anything with it. It stays forever. In other words, when you go to, because otherwise what we would do, the guy is not there anymore. The neshama went up. So what do we do there? Logically, there is nothing there. This is a body, this is rotten in a grave, and that's it. After a few years, there is nothing there. But that's exactly the point. If we understand that the physical world is connected with the spiritual world, it means that it is connected. And the tzaddik, the place where he's buried, is connected to God. So, for example, when I want to daven, where is a better place to daven? At home or at shul?
At shul.
Why?
Because you're praying with other people, and then you may...
Even if you're alone.
Even if you're alone.
Yes. Even if you're alone, it's better to daven in shul and not at your home. Not everybody knows it. It's not only dominion. It's the holiness of the place. In other words, for example, people go to the Kotel HaMaharavi. Why?
Because it's the most holy place in the world.
So in other words, this is a place where our prayer can go up easier, or God is going to listen more. Or because of the holiness, the prayers goes better. And this is the same thing with the tzaddik. Where a tzaddik is buried, it's a holy place. We all know that we behave to a graveyard. This is we call it Bet HaChaim. We call it the house of life. That's what we call it, not the house of death. Because all the tzaddikim that are buried in the Beskvar, it's a holy place. So in other words, when you go to a grave of a tzaddik, when you pray there, you are praying in a holy place. And the merits of the tzaddik are going to help you pray to go up. Because the Kodesh Baruch Hu looks, he looks, she's standing near the tzaddik. And the tzaddik, all his life, is concerned about Am Yisrael. He doesn't daven for himself. A tzaddik davens for everybody. So in other words, when you go to a grave of a tzaddik, that all his life was about helping Am Yisrael, and you go there, so God wants to help you. You don't pray to the tzaddik. You pray to God. Always all to God. Only to God. But because here was buried a tzaddik, it helps your prayer go up. So next time when you go to a grave of a tzaddik, it's a big thing. You should pray. Of course, as I said, you pray to the Kodesh Baruch Hu himself, not to the tzaddik. Because if you pray to the tzaddik, that is idol worshiper.
Yes.
But because you're in a holy place, you ask God to look, and that the merits of the tzaddik will help your prayer go up and listen to you. That's the second condition. The first one, modesty, anava. And the second one, we pray only to God. At that time. Also, the time is important because, for example, there is a time for Shachrit, there is a time for Mencha, and there is a time for Maariv. There is a time of Aseret Yemei Tshuva, when God is very close to us. There is Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. Those are special days. In other words, there are special times and special days where it's good to pray and ask for what you want. And the fourth thing, le'emor, to say. To say what? You know, a lot of times we ask, God, give me, give me, give me, give me, give me. I want $1 million. Is it good or bad?
It's good.
Yes?
No.
I saw a lot of people win the lottery and it wasn't good for them.
Yeah.
They lost everything and they broke their family, they got divorced, and they are now in big debts.
To die and to have a
million.
No.
The money.
No. The idea is, male mishalot libeinu letova, for the best. The Rav Chaim HaKadosh reminds us a story in the Gemara. There's a story about this Bedouin, this Arab, was going in the desert, and he had a lady donkey, and she gave birth, and the small donkey, the baby donkey, couldn't walk. It was hard for him to walk. He just was born, so he didn't know what to do. And suddenly, he sees this Jew walking. And this Jew was walking in the desert, it was very hot, and he was asking God to give him a donkey so he can ride. So this Arab sees the good Jew, calls him, and puts the small donkey on his shoulder and carries the donkey. So he got a donkey, but instead of the donkey carry him,
he carried
the donkey. In other words, be careful in what you ask. People ask things. Are you sure it's good for you? So I'm not saying, you want $1 million? He says, God, I want $1 million, and that it will be for the best. Because as we know, sometimes we get things, and it's really not good for us. And there are a lot of stories in life. It's like this... It's like this rabbi was going on a way to Jerusalem, and suddenly was a big, big traffic jam. Couldn't understand what. Half an hour later, they go through, they see a car smashed, a new car smashed, and bodies outside. New car. Now, imagine to yourself, this guy coming home with this new car, and everybody's looking at him, jealous. Wow, look at this car. Look, wow, what a car. If they would know what is inside the wheels of that car, would they be jealous? Would they be jealous? Of course not. In other words, it's not what we see. It's not what we think. God knows better than us. So in other words, when we ask something, be careful to ask that it's going to be for the best. Male mishalot libeinu is not written male mishalot libeinu. Male mishalot libeinu le tova, for the good, for the best.
Mishalot.
Mishalot is the request I want to ask. Mishallah. I have a request. I want something. In other words, Orach Chaim HaGadol is telling us, the Torah, Moshe Rabbeinu, is telling us how to pray. And from the other side, he shows us the power of praying, which is a big lesson, a very big lesson. Our parsha is full with a lot of unbelievable things.
Just a minute.
Yes.
You say four.
Four things, I said four. One, pleading, like an ani, like a poor guy that's asking.
Second,
only to God. Third, time. And fourth,
to
know how to ask. This is four things that you, the way of davening, of praying. Davening, praying, asking.
This parsha, for me, is a little boring.
Boring?
Because it's repeat 20 times the same question. When you will reach the land that I give you to our forefather, and that, and you should keep the mitzvot, and repeat the same thing a lot of times. Why? Why Moshe have to repeat so many times?
The whole Sefer Dvarim is a lot of repetition, as we talked about it. The idea is that Sefer Dvarim is when they go into Eretz Yisrael. So in Sefer Dvarim, you have all the things that are connected to Eretz Yisrael.
No, yeah, I know. But
that's why we have again the Ten Commandments. That's an unbelievable parsha.
Yeah, the Ten Commandments. Okay.
It's not only the Ten Commandments.
And Shema Yisrael.
It's, for example, I'll show you one of the beautiful psukim of the parsha. Is 1 minute. Let me see if I find it here.
But here it gets many times the same thing. I think so. I read all the parsha. I found a lot of times.
כי מי גוי גדול אשר לא אלוקים קרובים אליו כהשם אלוקינו בכל קוראינו אליו. Who is a great nation that God is close to this nation, like God to us every time we call him. Now this is a very powerful pasuk. This pasuk is really, what is it telling us? Imagine to yourself that you know somebody who controls everything and he's got the power to give you whatever you want. Would you care about this guy?
This is Hashem.
Now imagine you said this guy is not just another guy from the street or a friend, it is your father that's got power to give you everything. Now what does it mean to you? Is it important? So God that created everything, the only one, he is our father. Is there anything more close than this? So imagine to yourself to understand that we have this close relationship with God. And it's a relationship of love because God loves us. In other words, we have a tremendous power in our hand. Because Father wants always to give his children the best. But we have to realize, understand it and believe in it. There was this guy who had a problem. Serious problem. So he approached one of the machers, big macher. Well, big shot, something in politics, very high in politics, to help him. Unfortunately, this guy was a very good guy, but he used to help a lot of people, and he was very busy, and he didn't have time, and like he gave him, said, I can see you in another 2 months. But he said, this guy has a big problem. So what can he do? That's what it is, and that's it. A week later, his secretary of this guy is phoning the other man and telling him, you know, if you come in an hour, he's got a bracket of time, you can come, because something was cancelled, and you can come now. This guy runs from his office, takes a taxi, tells him, I don't know what, in half an hour I want you to be there, I'll pay you double the money. And this taxi driver goes from here and there, he knows all the ways, and they get there 5 minutes before. He runs on the stairs to the office of this
big shot,
and he doesn't even get to the door, and the door is open, and the secretary is standing there in the entrance and says, oh, mister, I'm sorry. Something happened, and he had to go. Mm. So this guy is very disappointed. Goes down, sits on a bench. He had an apple in his pocket, takes the apple out, and starts benching under the apple. Baruch Ata Hashem Elokah. Baruch Ata. Blessed are you. What does it mean? What does it mean? That God is here. Because otherwise, blessed is Him. Not here. Baruch Ata. You are blessed. You means that I'm talking to you. You are in front of me. It says, when God is here, and I'm trying to talk to this guy, I can talk to God. He puts himself on the side and he's for half an hour he talks with God, cries to God, pleads, davens, asks, and then he felt so good about it, he goes home. 2 days later, the problem was solved. 2 weeks later, the guy is phoning him, you know, and this is, Baruch Hashem, I don't need your help, everything is okay. That's the power. To understand how close God is to us. He's here now with us. Says God, when 2 people are learning, God is there. 3 people, of course. God is everywhere, but especially with us now, learning. He's here with us. Do you know? Do you understand this? The problem is, we don't feel it. We don't understand it, so we have to realize that that's true. That's what it is. God is here with us. And He's close to us. There is nothing closer than us to God. And this is our privilege as the children of God. This is the pasuk. Kimi goy gadol. Who can say that he's such a great nation, that he's so close to God, that whenever you want, you can talk with God. You can ask him anything. And if you want to understand and realize, you're talking about the parsha. Ki hi chokhmatchem u binatchem.